and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Donald Trump is quickly putting his cabinet together. His latest choice, Cantor Fitzgerald, CEO Howard Lutnick, to serve as Commerce Secretary. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Lutnick became known in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks. Cantor Fitzgerald's offices were in the World Trade Center's North Tower, and the firm lost hundreds of employees, including Lutnick's own brother.
Ukraine today used long-range U.S. missiles inside Russia for the first time. Russian President Putin promised to lower his country's nuclear threshold. At the Pentagon, spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
It's the same irresponsible rhetoric that we've seen before and that we've seen, frankly, for the past 2 years.
The U.S. envoy held talks in Lebanon today to try to win the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. At the State Department, spokesman Matthew Miller.
An agreement is within reach, but it's going to take decisions by both parties.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. While the Wisconsin Rapids City Council voted to keep at least $76,000 in the city budget, they have not yet agreed to the contract with the Southwood County Humane Society. The amount requested in the contract for 2025 was $10,500 less than the city paid last year. The Humane Society changed the contracts to charge municipalities their fair share. The board went through records to figure out the average over the past 3 years for each municipality and the services they request. Now the system is a pay-for-use as much as possible. For the residents of Wisconsin Rapids, this amounts to a little over $4 per person to contract with SWCHS for animal control. Tim Kritz is president of the SWCHS board. He believes the services their nonprofit provides are fair and that residents are willing to pay.
I honestly, firmly believe the vast majority of the residents of Wisconsin Rapids will give up $4.22 a person to have services from our shelter.
He said if you want your alderperson to know how you feel on this issue, you should respectfully let them know.
I would urge any of the people, if you want, you know, to have a contract with us, your city, call your alderman or alderperson, tell them.
The contract was referred back to the Finance and Property Committee. It's not yet published when that committee will meet again. The Common Council meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. at City Hall. There's a free walk-in flu vaccination clinic in Wisconsin Rapids on Wednesday. Children ages 6 months and older must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. If you don't have health insurance or you have insufficient coverage, you can get a free flu shot on November 20th from 9 to 5 at the Riverblock Building, third floor. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Who's next at Wisconsin? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. We told you after losing to Oregon, the Badgers fired their offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, after just 2 seasons. So who will replace him? Head coach Luke Fickell asked at a press conference.
Just who's going to be calling plays for the rest of the season and why that particular person?
Why does it matter? Right? I mean, the offense will, you know, be run and those guys will do a lot of things collaboratively together. And I don't think it really is important as to who is calling it. You know, I guess it gives you the ability to point a finger at somebody if that's the case. But it's not one of those things I think is that important. Sometimes I think it's overrated in some ways. But it'll be a collaborative group and those guys will have to work a lot together.
College hoops, Wisconsin with another win, 87-84 over Texas Rio Grande Valley. The Badgers undefeated at 5-0. The Bucks with a win, 101-100 over the Houston Rockets, thanks to a gutsy layup by Damian Lillard.
It comes down to who's going to make the plays, and I thought tonight in that last stretch we was the one to make the plays.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. The rain goes away today, but the wind does not. Expect cloudy skies with gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Temperatures topping out in the upper 40s. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 34, not as gusty, but still a bit on the breezy side. Currently, it's 49.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes, inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin and Nebraska square off for the Freedom Trophy. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly, obvious, he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friends Trigvi Olsen and Pat Kretlow are back for another Wednesday Hump Day edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome everybody to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. At 4:30 today, we're going to speak with CEO of United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns, will be with us. Right now, our friend Tom Darien, exalted ruler of the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you, James?
Doing good. Thanks for being in here, man. Appreciate the time. We're going to get into a couple of things today. I want to talk about becoming a member of the Elks Lodge, though, to kick things off, if you don't mind. I had a couple listeners reach out about this and wanting to get more involved with our Elks Lodge. I actually had somebody new to town asking about this, I want to say a couple months ago. And so just wanted to get this in there and let people know how not only they can become a member, but maybe even volunteering or just being more involved in our Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge.
Oh, yeah. That'd be something I'm glad to comment on. Becoming a member is pretty simple. You just come into the lodge on any of the days that we're open. We have a small application that you fill out. One of the members will have to sponsor you, as most fraternal organizations are that way.
Yeah.
That's usually not a problem. We usually have many officers that are just glad to come out, say hi, meet you, learn a little bit about you. We'll ask you some basic questions. The first being, are you an American citizen?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is required to be an American citizen to become an Elks member.
Sure.
You have to be 21 or over. And then the other thing is, do you believe in God? It's not a loaded question. We're not looking for your denomination or where you're looking, what religion you are. It's just one of our basic questions that we ask.
Yeah.
And then from there, we go through the process. We get you filled out. We take it to an investigating committee that looks at that. You'll pay, I think it's like a $35 fee initially to get that part of it done.
Yeah.
And then we go through that process. Your then application will come across the lodge floor. There will be some discussion, kind of get to know this person if we don't know them or we do know them or we want them to come in. And then it goes to a vote on the lodge floor of any of the members that are there at that meeting that night. And we'll give the yes or no based on our findings from the investigation and if we think they're a good fit for our lodge. And most of the time, they're a good fit for our lodge.
Yeah.
I can't say we've had too many that I could say, no, this is not a member we want. Not in my time, at least, with the lodge. So it's a very easy process. And basically, again, it's about Americanism, and that's about what we do. Good works in the community and supporting many charities, veterans organizations, or helping out our vets, anything that we can do in our community to be active.
got a lot of people that fall in line with some of the things you just mentioned there, Tom. And those same people are looking at, well, how can I impact my community? How can I help my community? How can I do some good in the world? And boom, there you go. You got your Elks Lodge right there that really, I don't want to say has done a lot of the hard work for you here or anything, but as far as like, how do I help my community? Well, the Elks Lodge is doing that almost every day. So you fit this kind of set of things and you are matched up perfectly with the Elks Lodge. Cannot encourage you enough to reach out and put back into your community in that way. So I think first off, thanks, Tom, because I don't think a lot of people know a lot of that stuff out there. And I don't want to say that I don't make light of this or anything, but it's not a huge process or anything. It's not like you got to jump through hoops, learn a bunch of different things. I'm a little surprised there's not a secret handshake. I thought for sure you'd have to learn a secret. I'm kidding. But it is the simpleness of this that makes it beautiful in itself, too, because, you know, to individuals out there, whether you want to be a part of the Elks Lodge or not, impacting your community is not that hard. It's not rocket science. It doesn't take a whole lot. You can do that every day. There's opportunities for that.
Yes. And getting involved with it, there are some rituals we do. Of course, there's a little heckling we always give people when they come into the lodge about what our initiation process looks like and all of that. But most of it's just jokes that we're having and having a little fun. But we do have very serious rituals that we do take with that, a solemn obligation that we all take. It's something that we live by every day, not just when we're in the lodge, but when we're in our community, when we're in our private time. It basically is just serving the needs of charity, brotherly love, fidelity, and justice. Those are the credos of the Elks Lodge as a whole. So you just live your life that way.
I think a little different than some people who may have watched, grew up watching The Honeymooners and everything. It might have a different interpretation of some of these things, but very different organization, very different organization. And that's team.
Yep.
I just had to reference The Honeymooners. I just wanted to do that. That's all that was about.
Or you hear the Grand Poombah from the
there you go.
From the Flintstones or whatever. Yes, it's
This is a wonderful organization that we here at WFHR for decades have had a great relationship with, and we love being able to promote the different events you guys got going on. And one of the more unique and I think special ones that you have going on is coming up right around the corner, Tom, and that's the Community Thanksgiving Dinner. Let's dive into that.
Yeah, so the Community Thanksgiving Dinner, first I want to say thank you to the community. Thank you to WFHR, WIRI, for giving us a platform to share this with the community. This event has been totally paid for. A lot of members took care of getting a lot of donations. A few community organizations donated to this. And we have everything paid for. In fact, we're a little bit over. So those extra funds will be saved for another one. Right. I've said I'd like to do one probably around February, late February, early March, where people are really struggling again. Yeah. And maybe down the line, right before the end of my term, maybe a spaghetti dinner kind of to cap that off and be kind of a nice end of it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Thing. So it's just one of those things that it's good. So we're going to have the dinner on the 25th. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be from 5 to 7 p.m. at the lodge. It is a first come, first serve. So there's no reservations you're making. You're just coming down. Again, we got for 150 people. Mm-hmm. But I think with the food stores that I've got and things that I have set, we can serve 200 people easily. Hmm. So hopefully we can get people to come down and enjoy it. This is open to everyone. This is not just for the needy. This is not just for seniors or things like that. We're not doing delivery. I've got to be very clear on that. Yeah. There are other organizations out there that are doing delivery. But this year, we wanted to keep it simple, being our first year, and try and make it as easy as that. So
in doing that, I imagine you're able to cut down on not only, time that you and your volunteers are doing, but money, you know, so you're able to put a little bit more into the food or save for that next meal you're talking about.
Yep. And it's coordinating the deliveries is its own special kind of headache. That's just something that we've done that with limited amount when we did fish fries and things like that. And we just don't have the volunteers to precipitate that, or the liability of somebody gets hurt while that's happening.
Right.
Is another thing we have to think about. Mm-hmm. So
What is going to be on the menu for this community Thanksgiving dinner, Tom?
So we are having oven roasted turkey, honey glazed ham, mashed potatoes, sage stuffing, sage and sausage stuffing, or just sage?
Sage stuffing.
I'm trying to think what I got on my other menu. turkey gravy, of course. We have green beans. I should say they're long beans. It's wax bean, green bean, and another type of bean. Hmm. All long beans with baby carrots. Pumpkin pie, of course, and cranberry sauce. So you got your full Thanksgiving meal. When you come in, you're not going through a buffet line. You're going to come in, you're going to get seated with your party, and then they'll come back with an order for us to make how many of our plates in the kitchen, and then we will do that and send it right out.
Perfect.
As simple as it can get.
Got to say, I feel like every Thanksgiving I learned that there are a lot more beans out there than I realized. There's so many more than I realized. And we were talking about on the morning show today about must-haves for a Thanksgiving dinner. And you've got them all. You've got all the must-haves. Especially, yep. I'm pretty sure that you can't have a Thanksgiving in Wisconsin without cranberries being involved.
Yeah,
you got that covered.
Got that covered. Well, can't have a Thanksgiving in Rapids without cranberries being covered.
Period. You're 100% right about that. When it comes to this event and the volunteers, are we still looking for volunteers for this event? Can we still use some?
Actually, we're full up on volunteers. Perfect. We had quite a few that showed up. We have the Boy Scouts. We have some families coming in to help out. A lot of Elks are stepping up and coming in to help out. Boy Scout troops. A lot of different people are going to come to help at this event.
Well, you know what? Thanks a lot, community. I had 5 minutes of this interview put aside for volunteers and donations, and you guys covered it all. Thanks a lot. No, I'm kidding. That is awesome. How cool is that, man?
It's amazing.
The last time we talked, Tom, wasn't that long ago.
No.
And we were looking to hopefully cover the costs of this meal.
Yep.
And here you are, like, I don't know, a week later, whatever it is, and that's done. Yeah. Like, this community, man.
A couple weeks later, and it's set. It's done. It's paid for. I do want to say thank you to a lot of people out there that did help, if that's all right.
Yeah, please.
Sue and Daryl Reby donated some money. Sunrise Rotary donated some money. Pat Barton Lovesey. Diana Newberry donated the plates. Jim Kraft and his family donated. Carrie Nikolai, Karen and Dale Shirik, Marilyn and Frank Gillies, the Lady Elks Association donated. Michael and Becky Races donated. Mike and Don Spranger donated. Bob and Audrey Warner. And a huge thank you to Encourage Community Foundation for their donation as well. St. Luke's also donated to this. So while it's nice to say thank you on the air, I'll still be doing a personal handwritten thank you to all of these people for providing this. This was an amazing thing.
Yeah, you and I were raised very similar. Like, it's one thing to say it, you know, but you got to do it in person. You got to say the thank you in person. I hear you, yeah.
It's amazing to think that they got this done. And that everything's there, everything's paid for, everything's in-house. I could start prepping tomorrow if I wanted to. Obviously, I'm going to wait a little bit. Probably Friday I'll get started, but it's a lot of work.
And that's where, you know, all these thank yous that we put out there, and I second everything that you said. But I also want to turn this back to you and your crew and thank you guys for doing this, for seeing a need in our community, for doing something like this, and not only consistently doing it, but making the audience, you know, giving it's something as a kid that grew up like this. I know what it is like to mark on your calendar. I know I'm going to eat that day.
Uh-huh.
That's something that I don't know, and I hope nobody out there knows what I'm talking about. But if you do, you know how that feels. You know what that means.
And definitely.
Things like this, like something, you know, certain days, every day of the year, everybody should have a full meal. But on Thanksgiving, certainly. And having something like this, it's free. It's open to the public. There are no necessary requirements here. You don't got to scan a QR code.
Right.
You know, some of this stuff and everything. Like, it's just a really cool thing. I appreciate you, the Elks Lodge, hosting this.
Yep.
A big tip of the hat to you guys.
And the thing is, no one's excluded. We want the people that may not have somewhere to go on Thanksgiving to come. We want people that may just be down on their luck to have a place to go and have a full meal, bring their family, things like that. That these are memories that families and people will hold on to, and it's how we grow and help our community.
The community Thanksgiving dinner going to be taking place Monday, November 25th from 5 to 7 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, 430 West Jackson Street, right here in Rapids. Speaking with Tom Deary, exalted ruler of the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, and you guys landed another big guest. You got Breakfast with Santa coming up.
Oh, yeah. We got the big guy coming in.
Yeah.
We're doing that on December 21st. From 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. will be our last seating. I should say seating, not last of it. So a little bit about that. It's not just going to be breakfast with Santa. A lot of people do those things. That's fun and all. But we want it to be a fun thing for families to enjoy. So there is price attached with this one. As much as, you know, I try and keep it as affordable as I can, especially with these times and people just trying to have fun and bring their families out. It'll be $12 for members, $14 for adults, otherwise if they're non-members, and kids 10 and under are free. Kids 10 and over are $10.
Okay.
So it's not terribly expensive.
Yeah, very affordable.
So a family of four could probably afford to come out for about 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. For that 40 or 50 bucks, your menu is going to look like this. O'Brien potatoes, white cheddar mac and cheese, apple cider glazed ham, maple sausage links, double smoked bacon, scrambled eggs, eggnog French toast, Christmas pancakes, assorted cookies and desserts, a hot chocolate and cider bar, and then we're going to have some activities for the children as well. Well, not just the children, the kids at heart as well can join in if they'd like. We have Mary Beth from 1716 coming in to do face painting again.
Mary Beth's awesome.
She did a fantastic job at the Nightmare Before Christmas party.
Oh, good. Good to hear.
Christmas cookie decorating. Hired my friend Steve Z-Man from Stevens Point to do some Christmas karaoke.
Nice.
And then a coloring table and, of course, the visit with the big guy.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, we do have a giving tree at the lodge, and that is going very, very well so far. Our plan is to give the presents that we get from that giving tree out on that day.
Oh, cool.
They're very basic, anything from like $5 to $15. Dollar General had a great sale the other day, and we picked up a bunch that we were able to put under the tree.
Yeah.
And to fund some of these things, we are doing some raffles at the lodge. Now, I'm trying to keep them fun and Christmas orientated. So the first two baskets that are in the process of being put together are a Christmas story basket, complete with the Red Ryder BB gun.
Yes. Oh, that is awesome.
And the second one is also a Christmas classic, Elf. So in that basket, you get the movie, you get some spaghetti, you get some real maple syrup, a cup, some cocoa, a bunch of other things. And these will be on for bid at the lodge. And I will have the different dates that we are going to give them out. As soon as we give out one, we're going to build a basket for another Christmas classic. So a Charlie Brown Christmas is out there.
Nice.
A bad Santa basket is a possibility because you got to have fun for the adults,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And some of the other classics, of course, the Grinch, things like that. So we're trying to have fun and raise some funds to, again, fund these things so we're not just paying them out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
So it takes care of a lot. It took care of our face painter and gave us extra money to put towards other things. So it was great.
When it comes to something like that, too, that money you're spending, not only for you and yours, but your kids are going to see that you are investing in your community, because that's what this is. It's an investment. You get a return for that investment. You're going to have a great time, a wonderful event. Your dinner is covered. Your activities, something fun for the kids, something for them to look forward to. But also them knowing that this is an organization, this is a nonprofit that continues to put into their community.
Yes.
And maybe even making future Elk members. Who knows?
Exactly.
You know?
That's the goal, is to get more people to join and come and take part in these things.
I got to make a note. I have to start eating before these interviews, man. I get so hungry talking to you. Apple cider and a hot chocolate bar, that sounds like a fantastic idea. Those are becoming more and more popular.
It's
That's a really nice
a
addition.
We've done them for weddings and things in the past through my company, and I'm like, why not? This is a holiday thing that people will love and enjoy, and it's another thing where food is connected to a memory, and I think that's just one of those things where their kids are going to have fun building their hot chocolates and making their cookies and things like that. So
you're so right about this. And as a quick side note, man, I don't know if you even notice this, but I know that the audience has to. You are quite the creative man. You and your team over there, you guys are very creative. I love the originality of what you guys do over there. The baskets, everything. It's very cool. It's very noteworthy, man.
Yeah, we're trying to do stuff that's fun and different. You go into some places, you'll see 10-liners and things like that. That's not really all of what we want to do. We wanted to find fun things that people can come and enjoy, or raffles that are going to be worthwhile, and try and do things that are maybe a little different and maybe a little fun that kind of went by the wayside with some of these organizations in the past. And two, not to be like, you know, a lot of places were like, oh, no, you can't go here, you can't do that in the past. We want to make sure people know that our doors are open and welcoming. And just because it seemed like it was a place where you're forbidden from in the past, that is not how we operate anymore.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Tom, with an event like this, the Breakfast with Santa, do people need to buy tickets early, register, anything?
They do need to call and make reservations for this. This helps me figure out how much food I need, make sure that I'm not overfilling the seatings, because again, we have room for about 150 people per seating. And that way I can plan accordingly and get the maximum out of this and make sure that we're hitting what we need to.
So just have them call the number right here?
Yep. And that number is 715-697-9221. That is my personal line. And I will answer it. If I don't, for whatever reason, leave a voicemail and I will get your party down and call back to confirm that I have the details.
Keep in mind as well that our Elks Lodge also has a great Facebook page. Encourage you to check that out, everybody. Keep subscribed to it. Keep up to date on things. When they post stuff, share it on your page, too. You never know who might see it otherwise. And Tom, is that the number of people can call, too, if they're interested in becoming a member, finding out more about that?
Yes. Otherwise, you can reach the lodge at 715-423-1930.
And keep in mind, the community Thanksgiving dinner is coming up Monday, November 25th from 5 to 7 over at our Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693. Always good talking with you, Tom. If I don't get the chance to, have a great Thanksgiving, all right?
You too, James. Thanks for having me.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
They've been rocking audiences for decades. It's Foghat. Performing live November 30th. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells.
I just want to make...
With special guest, The Empty Pockets. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. Legendary rock band Foghat. Live in concert November 30th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
Must be 21 to attend concert.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Jesse Vang entered his plea in Manitowoc County Court yesterday. Lisa Hale has more.
Jesse Vang pleaded not guilty Monday to charges related to the death of 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Vang was caring for the toddler when he reported him as missing in February. Elijah's remains were found in September. Vang is charged with physical abuse of a child, repeated acts causing death, hiding a corpse, and obstruction. Prosecutors have until February 7th to offer him any plea deal. His next court appearance is scheduled for March 13th. Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, is also charged in the case.
Governor Tony Evers has declared this week as Winter Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why.
Right now is a time to remember how bad winter conditions can be and how quickly they can escalate. Have a plan.
As always, weather's not convenient, so you may need to travel at a time when the roads are snowy or icy.
That's Matt Friedline with the National Weather Service.
It doesn't take long for frostbite to set in, and it can be deceptive, or your car is not working all of a sudden, and now you're out in the cold, so you're not at home. So those type of things, it's really important to prepare for.
Get a winter weather emergency kit ready and in your car, including blankets or a sleeping bag, extra hats, gloves, possibly a solar charger and a cord. Don't forget the water, food, and of course a shovel. They sell foldable ones now that'll collapse smaller for space convenience. And snow tires are a good investment too, as they're designed to grip ice better and cut through snow smoother. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Wisconsin State Patrol says that 9 people were killed and over 2,000 were injured in the state just last winter. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beauty in Black is Tyler Perry's new hit show. Although the show debuted to lukewarm reviews at under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, viewers don't seem to care. The show nabbed 8.6 million viewers. If you're doing the math, that's 15.2 million eyes. Perry said he was excited the show is pulling in viewers worldwide to contrast criticism that Black entertainment does not have global appeal. He says Netflix has repeatedly proven it does. Speaking of Netflix, the streamer says 60 million households watched the highly touted, meaningless snooze fest referred to too often as the Jake Paul Mike Tyson bout last Friday night. The 58-year-old Tyson lost an actual nail biter as he seemed to be trying to chew through his gloves most of the fight. Anyone who bet that Tyson's elderly legs would go after 6 punches cleaned up. Netflix says they wanted the broadcast to be a spectacle, and it was. If you like watching your TV buffer all night, just an awful event all the way around for fight and entertainment fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. The rain goes away today, but the wind does not. Expect cloudy skies with gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Temperatures topping out in the upper 40s. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 34, not as gusty, but still a bit on the breezy side. Currently, it's 49.
The morning show on WFHR, it's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was at least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
So
I needed a minute for it to sink in.
No, that was funny. That was good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results, Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday morning, we'll talk to an author of books geared toward middle schoolers about not letting a wave of book bans get in the way of good education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and we're joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well. I managed to remember my business hat, my serious hat.
I mean,
today.
Tomorrow we can screw around like crazy, yes, but definitely. We got to be all business today.
We'll get it all out of our system now so we can have some fun tomorrow. we do have fun no matter what when we get together, no matter what the time, and especially talking about our United Way and all the great things that you guys do over there. I want to get into some campaign updates and talk about the Alice report that you brought over. If you don't mind, I was talking to a listener this week, and they brought up a nice thing I thought about our United Way and the events you guys host and have, how much they look forward to them. She was already talking about United Weekend this, in the summer with the rafters and this. We just went on. I actually was in a hurry, and I was there for an extra 5 minutes because we were talking.
Like, you can just pull up our website on your phone and be like, oh, what's next on their calendar, right? This event, yeah.
But one of the things we talked about was the Radiothon that we here at WFHR have gotten to host with you guys for years. And we weren't able to do it this year for a variety of things. But one of the things that we found silver linings about it was that we could have a chance to kind of reinvent this a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and when it came to that, it brought up a kind of whole other conversation with Terry and I about just events in general and what you all are looking for out of this, because the United Way is completely about what the community needs and wants.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did make the decision to not move forward with Radiothon for this year because, we need to... I think laying it all out there, right? Like we've struggled. We've struggled with filling that, that amount of time. We certainly have enough content, but is it what people want to hear about? Yeah. And then also, the idea, the probably original idea of a radiothon, a telethon, is that people call in and make a donation. Mm-hmm. And so, recent years, we just really haven't seen much of that. And I think that's for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. Most likely, maybe people are giving in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. Like they might be giving through social media or, through Venmo, PayPal, any of those kinds of things, mailing us a check. But the reality is we just saw, some lag there and then you and I talked and we were like, yeah, we'll take a year off. We'll regroup. We'll see if it makes sense to bring it back. And certainly we United Way, I always welcome every opportunity to be talking about what we're doing and acquainting people with that. But, I certainly would be curious and would be happy to take feedback from anybody, about what that might look like as it pertains to the traditional radiothon idea, where basically in the past we've just taken kind of the morning show time slot. It wouldn't have to be that. I mean, if people say, I might do it, but maybe in the afternoon or, whatever it might be. But we certainly, would be open to feedback if anybody wants to get a hold of James or myself. I'd be happy to take feedback that people might have or things that you want to hear about. Maybe also what might motivate you to, what might move you to say, gosh, I have $10 I could donate to United Way because of what I heard or experienced during this time frame.
I've seen a rise in, I would say even going back to the pandemic, of people wanting to donate through their check. And I think that there's been an increase of that as well. And certainly, as you can tell when Terry joins us in the different things we talk about, the impact the United Way makes, I don't think we're seeing a lot less donations. It is the way, like you touched on, the way that people are donating. And we want, along those lines, want to be able to meet you where you are with these shows and these ideas. When you're bringing these ideas to us, also keep in mind, we got the afternoons now. We didn't used to really have that. And to your point about maybe a different time frame might work better and people are more engaged or will be more engaged or something. We're here 4 to 6 every Monday through Friday now. So that's an option as well, doing something in the afternoons. Really, a lot, pretty much everything is on the table. If it means we can help our United Way more, we want to do it. Look at this as something that isn't just the United Way, but something that WFHR is a part of and wants to help with in any way we can. So yeah, reach out to Terry or I and hit us up with your ideas, everybody. And we're looking forward to that and the topics that you want to hear about as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is very important that we're, meeting people where we're at. People are hearing what they want to hear about. But I think too, it was just prudent for us to say, okay, let's take a step back, and let's reevaluate. And we do that with pretty much all of the events that we do. And just at some point we reevaluate and say, okay, does this make sense? What does it mean? What does it look like? And frankly, I mean, we could come some day of the week from 4 to 6 and just talk about United Way. And if it was no, you know, maybe it's an information thon, not a money thon, you know, but the reality is, I mean, at the end of the day, what we're looking at this time of the year is really how do we translate, you know, and resonate with people so that what they're hearing makes them want to donate to their community.
You out there know what it's like to have a budget. Our nonprofits are no different. They have to be smart about these things. And whether it is a McDonald's, you know, bringing the McRib back every once in a while, because if it was on the menu 24/7, it wouldn't sell as well.
It wouldn't be so exciting.
Yeah. These events are very similar.
It's,
you know,
like the Apple Grande. Now we're going to get off on food things here.
We pull it away for a little bit, bring it back, and it's a little more, you know, entertaining, exciting, what have you. But it's also understandable, I think, and it speaks to modern times that, you know, you guys at the United Way or any of our nonprofits have to be very calculated, very smart about the things that they do, because it really all hands on deck, not only because it's campaign season, but just the years that we have had here as communities. You know this even better than I do. We'll get into it a little more with the Alice Report, but it's all the more reason why during campaign season, Terry, we think and we appreciate so much this community because they really show up. Can we dive right into a campaign update from that?
Yeah, kind of absolutely. Into that a little bit. So one of the really important things with timing, where we are at, you know, this week, is that our sweepstakes deadline is this Friday. So to qualify for our grand sweepstakes, so we have five $1,000 cash prizes. These are donated by local companies. This is no one's donation dollar. This is five companies, and those are Aspirus, Gunderson Moundview Memorial Hospital and Clinics, Prevail Bank, Williams Heating and Plumbing, and Nextone Partners. So those folks, each of those businesses has said, here's $1,000 to help you draw, you know, new donors to the campaign or to encourage existing donors to up their donation a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the deadline for that is 4 p.m. this Friday. So if you've been on the fence, you're thinking about it, you got something in the mail, you got something at work, you got nothing, but you're hearing us talk right now, mm-hmm. and you can hop on our website and make a donation, but then you can qualify for that drawing. So that's just a super fun thing that's out there. We give those away before Christmas. So, I mean, mm-hmm. what better than that to get mm-hmm. a little cash in your pocket before the holiday?
Not bad.
And again, that deadline is this Friday, 4 p.m. You need to give $52, which is $1 a week, is the commitment that we're asking, you know, community members, new donors to give. If you're an existing donor, if you increase by $26, you get double entry. So it's, you know, it's just a fun little incentive, maybe a little bit of a motivator, mm-hmm. maybe not, but for some people, it certainly is. So, you know, that level of participation is encouraged. So to date through yesterday, we have recorded 60% of the campaign,
cool.
Which is pretty awesome. We're lagging a little bit behind last mm-hmm. year. However, the way that our donor software works, that might have just been that, you know, let's say a local business last year turned their campaign in last Friday and Stephanie was able to process it. Right. And maybe this year they're turning it in today.
Gotcha.
So, you know, timing isn't necessarily mm-hmm. considered in these numbers, but the Tuesday before sweepstakes last year, we had 65%. And okay. the Tuesday before sweepstakes this year, today, we're at 60%. So we are okay. we are a little bit behind. Not behind in a way that I have a high level of concern yeah. over yeah. or that I think is a crisis. But I do encourage you, if you mm-hmm. are, again, sitting on that, you know, mailing or your pledge form from work, or you've typically just been a donor by visiting the website, you know, giving with your credit card maybe or something like that. You know, I really encourage you to do that, qualify for the sweepstakes, but it also will help us get our numbers, you know, better aligned so we know where we're at and we know what we need to do, what we need to do next.
It's really laid out for you perfectly on the website of how to donate. But you mentioned other ways. Is there other ways people can donate and find out about that?
Yeah, so you can certainly stop by our office mm-hmm. and you could drop off a check or cash. Giving with your, you know, with any kind of mobile app mm-hmm. or with your wallet, your mobile wallet, mm-hmm. Giving with a credit card, debit card, that can all be done online. It also can be done in the building. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't discourage visitors.
Sure.
So sometimes it's a convenience thing because we are open till 4 p.m. So sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, folks just can't get there before then.
Yeah.
And then also, I guess the other big thing is if you are at a workplace that offers payroll deduction, right? Like that's a pretty easy way if you just have, mm-hmm. you know, you maybe don't necessarily notice $5 a paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that is used because it's just maybe one less trip to the vending machine,
right?
Or whatever. Or you know what? Maybe you do notice it, but you're like, hey, it's worth me sacrificing that $5 because I know that I'm helping my, you know, I know that I'm helping my community. Maybe it is something that you can feel a little bit, or that you're consciously aware of. But so many, not all, but many workplaces do offer the opportunity for payroll deduction. If you're in a situation where that's not offered, or maybe you are retired, mm-hmm. We do also offer there's a bill me option, mm-hmm. where you could pick a day. Because sometimes we'll have folks say, well, I want to give $500, but I'd like to be billed on February 1st. Oh, so then sure, Stephanie sure. will bill that, you know, depending upon whatever their personal finance situation mm-hmm. is. The other thing that we can offer up to quarterly is an ACH withdrawal. Mm. So you could say, well, I want, you know, $20 to just automatically be drawn out of my mm-hmm. Checking account. And then we just work with our local bank, you know, get your banking information and make that work through the bank. So honestly, I mean, we try to give every option humanly possible. I mean, I know that our credit card system will take like Apple Pay, mm-hmm. you know, if you came in and wanted to use that. So we really try. I'm certain there is some way to pay that we're not doing. Yeah. I mean, that's like, we don't take Bitcoin. Like, I don't know. But
good on you, by the way.
But, you know, very something smart. Else that's been really popular is qualified distributions through people's IRA.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you reach a certain age and you have mandatory distribution, or even if you're not of that age yet, you can do all of your charitable giving through a qualified distribution from your IRA, which then is... doesn't affect your income for the year. So you don't have to like withdraw it, then give it to us. It can come to us directly from your Vanguard account mm-hmm. or your America, you know, wherever you have your retirement. And so that can be done directly from that company. So that's an awesome feature that's, you know, I have no idea how long, it maybe has been around a long time, but it's really just kind of gained some legs maybe in like the last maybe like 4 or 5 years where we're seeing quite a bit of it. You know, it maybe has been happening on the East and West Coast for our whole life. Who knows? But it is something that's gained popularity because especially for people who have the ability and the capacity, and it's not everyone. So I'm not trying to imply that. But you know, if someone has the ability to give us, let's say they say, well, we're going to donate $500 a month. So we're going to donate $6,000 a year. But if that $6,000 can come out of that IRA and not affect their income for the year, they, you know, so it leaves some room. So, mm-hmm. so there's, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can give, if you're not sure or what's the best fit for you, you absolutely can give us a call. Stephanie is the one who most likely will answer the phone. And she is well versed in all of these things. And you know what? If there's something you want to do and we haven't done it or we don't know how, we'll figure it out.
Right,
we'll make our way through it. It's not, you know, that's not a problem.
You're talking to a real person when you're calling over there. So you're going to be able to have options and be able to talk it out with them. And not everybody, you know, this is such an important thing for my mom to do every year. But not everybody they don't live with a human calculator like my father. So if you have questions or things, you know, please reach out to the staff and they'll help you figure this out.
Yep. And some people just say, you know what? I'm just going to write you a check. You know, it's just whatever is comfortable and works into people's budgets and their you know, I guess charitable giving strategy, like, right, how that works within their household.
And keep in mind, as Terry has mentioned before as well, you can designate this to the Southwood County or Adams County if you like.
Yep.
You can be as specific as you'd like with this. Just reach out to United Way to find out more. We're speaking with Terry John, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. And Terry, one of the things we wanted to wrap up on was talking a little bit about the ALICE report.
Yeah, so I just, you know, I think sometimes I'm here and I'm talking about, you know, especially this time of the year, give us money. But you know, that's the reality, right? Like, we are raising funds now to fund programs here in Southwood County and Adams County. We're raising that money now, and those distributions start happening on January 1st. Mm-hmm. And so we are helping to fund programs. We have several of our own initiatives that we are focused on, but all are targeting the same population. So when we think about, you know, we use language like social determinants of health and, you know, community needs and priorities and that kind of thing. But really, ultimately, who are we serving? Where are the dollars going? And what does that impact look like?
Yeah.
One thing I can tell you is 100% of your donation stays in the community you want it to go to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no... You know, there's really no deviation from that.
Yeah,
so if you give $100, $100 stays here in Southwood County, unless you tell us you know, something different.
Right, right.
But the question, you know, sometimes that maybe we gloss over because we're so well versed in it is just really who are we, you know, who are we serving? Who is our target population for service? So we have a report that we are in our fifth iteration. It runs every 2 years, commissioned actually by United Way of Wisconsin. And they work with United Way of Northern New Jersey, who uses Rutgers University. I think a lot of people have heard of Rutgers, you know. Yeah. So they use Rutgers for all of the research.
One of the better research universities in the world.
Yeah,
in
for
the
sure.
World,
so,
period,
yeah. So, I mean, I think that it lends to the credibility of the report. And so...
And a Big Ten team.
For us, and that. And that. Don't miss that. I know. I agree. That's probably where I first heard about it, too. You know. So ALICE for us, though, stands for... It's an acronym, okay? But it stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed, right? So limited assets, limited income, but working. So, you know, we've maybe heard something similar referred to as underemployed or living paycheck to paycheck, or I mean, it can always be labeled. We're trying to not label it by labeling it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? But it's much easier to use a name, right? So to say ALICE population, not underemployed, nothing that implies less.
Yes. And there's a respect that comes with that, with this. And also a much better definition than, you know, check to check or something like that.
Yeah.
This really explains what we're talking about here much better.
And so it is, you know, but it is, we know that families, households, individuals, even individuals struggle, right? Like it's, you can't just, you can't imply that because someone is maybe not married or what, you know, they are an individual and they're working, but they still may be working a low wage job. I mean, there are still struggles. So in Wood County, we have 35% of the population is at or below what is determined as the ALICE threshold. So if you're into statistics and you kind of like to know the nuts and bolts behind numbers, this information, the full report, which is like, I don't know, 100 pages.
Yeah,
that can be referenced, you know, that can be found at our website where you have interest, right? Like I say, only dig in as deep as you want to, but if you want to, dig deep.
Yeah.
And so we have the full report, but then we also have these snapshots. So it's a two-pager and they're available for actually every county in the state.
Yes.
And you can find those with the report. We have links on our site just, you know, basically to our two counties, right? Mm-hmm. So we say Wood County, Adams County, because we want people to have quick access to the information that they want. But in Wood County, it's 35% of the households. And in Adams County, it's 44% of the households that, you know, ultimately are struggling or are on the tipping point of struggle.
Right.
Right. So maybe doing just fine, one crisis away from hardship, or maybe just, again, go along just fine and never experience any kind of hardship. Or maybe they literally struggle every single week, right? And so you know, thinking about as a community, how do we embrace that? How do we make life better? Rising tide raises all ships, right? Mm-hmm. So if we make, you know, if the community is better for all, the community, think about that. The community is then better for all.
Yeah.
So that even includes you and I, right? Our children, our grandchildren, our because as a community we made life better for someone else. So this is really where the focus is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so an example, let's say housing assistance, eviction prevention or rental assistance. So if United Way, we help to fund a rental assistance program in both counties that we serve. And so if by helping someone with their mortgage or rent for maybe it's, you know, 2-3 months, it takes a while for people to get back on their feet. Maybe it's 4 months. But if that allows them to course correct and get some, you know, get connected to good resources, role models, mentors, you know, somebody that can help them on the road to financial stability. I mean, think about the impact of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite remarkable. So, I mean, that's where we're focusing. That's the segment of our community that our minds are always on. Like, how do we make this better? Not everyone who falls in that segment of the community wants assistance. Some people desperately need assistance. So we are, you know, we're trying to be in the places through the programs we fund where this population is.
What if I told you that through a donation, you could impact multiple levels of your community, that you could have a domino effect on your community in a positive, that even in just taking this case and you help an individual or a family like this, and that they get on their feet, and all of a sudden that community, that family, not just one person in that family, but multiple people in that family are able to work. Maybe a teenager doing a job, maybe both parents are working or something like that. Those are taxpayers. Those are people that immediately become taxpayers in the community if they weren't already. They're doing even more in that regard, which lowers your taxes as a community, which makes a better community as far as being able to put more into your community, your roads, your infrastructure, your schools, all these things. Everything is connected. Everything adds up. And when you're able to do this, whether it's a dollar or whatever you're donating, you're impacting this.
Absolutely.
And that's that kind of feel good. It's a one time or a monthly thing that you get to feel every day, all the time, feeling that impact and knowing that you're helping out community members. You're helping out people that, look, let's be honest about this. We're Midwesterners. We don't share this stuff usually. We don't talk about these things that much in an individual basis. So it's on us to look out for each other and know that about each other and be like, hey, I'm going to help no matter what. Not knowing whether I know the people or not, I'm helping. Strangers helping strangers.
And the best way to connect people to resources is to use our 2-1-1 program. So, you know, that's where all of the programs are. But there's also a reality, you know, certain programs are really good at, you know, partner programs of ours. Of saying, well, okay, it would seem that you also, you know, could use some assistance in this area or that area. And, you know, all of this could have spiraled from maybe a car repair, right? Yeah. Because the car repair was $800 and I didn't have, you know, I had no emergency fund or I didn't have that $800. So I had to shortchange other things. So that's part of the process too, is understanding the true impact of what a $1,000 emergency fund can mean for stability. And so, you know, helping people understand that as well. So it's you know, this is very remarkable and rewarding work, and it's a fabulous way to impact the community. But the only way we can do it and make it happen is when we have donations from, you know, other members of the community. And that's just, I mean, we've been here 84 years.
Yeah,
this is the beauty of how the United Way model. It's community helping community. And then we're also able to uplift, you know, we think about just a couple of partners, right? Like you think about the Boys and Girls Club, the Family Center, Northside Community Action, the Food Pantry. You know, United Way is also supplementing the dollars for those programs. I mean, think about added cost of food. Mm-hmm. Well, there's an added need. Yeah. Think about added cost of shelter. There's an added need. So, you know, it's a great way to be part of something so much larger than yourself. The benefits are, you know, almost immeasurable.
We know there's a lot of like-minded people out there. It's always refreshing to hear how like-hearted there is out there, people, and want to get a part of this. Be a part of the United Way's campaign. Get in on this. You still have time to be a part of the campaign.
Sweepstakes.
Sweepstakes as well and everything. Go to uswac.org, uswac.org. And be sure to follow them on social media and share what they're doing on your pages. You never know who might see it. Terry, thank you so much for everything. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got a great guest host for you. Political editor of Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, takes the chair. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Donald Trump is wasting no time putting his cabinet together. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Here in West Palm Beach, it really is full steam ahead and wanting to make these selections by the end of next week.
Trump has named billionaire Howard Lutnick to be Commerce Secretary. He's also chosen TV doctor Mehmet Oz to oversee Medicare and Medicaid. Prosecutors in Trump's hush money trial say they're willing to delay his sentencing until after his presidency. Legal analyst Jessica Levin.
We have never been here before. So what's happening is trying to sort out what happens next when the person convicted is the president-elect of the United States.
The State Department is downplaying Vladimir Putin's latest nuclear threat. Spokesman Matthew Miller.
We will continue to call on Russia to stop bellicose and irresponsible rhetoric.
Putin has